You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're joined on the scoop today by Colton Molesk, host of Locked On Timberwolves. Recap game one of the Timberwolves Rockets series from this weekend. Colton, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me. And for Locked On Timberwolves, for the Locked On Wolves listener base, we're doing a collab episode today, so that's why the intro is a little different. You're not on the wrong show. You didn't click on the wrong iTunes podcast. This is the same show, just doing a collab episode with Seth. And I'm excited to be jumping into Timberwolves action. I assume today we're talking about the D Rose nines that dropped yesterday from Adidas, because that's what he was wearing in last night's game. That's what we're going to talk about, right?
Oh, absolutely. We got to talk about those for sure.
Always talk about the kick game. Always talk about the kick game.
Well, speaking of the game, we'll talk about the kick, though, as well. Rockets win 104-101. And for the Timberwolves, Colton, it seemed like one of those games when you're playing Houston, you hope they're going to struggle for the field and that you're able to kind of grind out a win. The Wolves, but they still end up losing.
Yeah, it was kind of the ugly game that you hope for. If you're a Timberwolves fan, if you're Tibbs, that's the game you really wanted to coach for, was the ugly, grinded out basketball game where you want to win it in around the 90 to 105 range. And they got exactly what they wanted, and James Harden was just so good. I was talking with a buddy about it earlier today. He actually comes on the Locked On Wolves show, Brandon Scarborough. But it's amazing how James Harden, on a team that won 65 wins, he was the thing that overcame an ugly game that the Timberwolves kind of forced the Rockets into playing. And none of the other Rockets players on a really good team with a really good roster could kind of shake off the ugly game that the Timberwolves forced them into playing, except for James Harden. And it's amazing that his force on the game was enough to propel the Rockets for a win, and what he did for the team and the way he played in that game. It was amazing to watch, and he was unstoppable all game long.
Yeah, Harden definitely showed MVP form in the game. And before we kind of start breaking down the things that the Timberwolves needed to do better, let's talk about what the Rockets did in order to win that game. And the big thing for them was the pick and roll with James Harden and Clint Capella. It seemed like whenever Harden would drive, the Wolves collapsed him and leave Capella open, which it's like something you'd hope would adjust to, and they just never did.
20 points and 10 rebounds in the first half for Capella. He really kind of showed Towns up in this one. He was definitely the best center on the floor. He was the best big man on the floor for both teams. You hope in game two, Towns takes this one personally and is able to contain him a little better. On the flip side of that, I really would like to see Towns be allowed to go more toe-to-toe with Capella. He only had 9 attempts in this game. He went 3 for 9 shooting. He got to the line a couple times, which helped, but only 9 attempts for an all-star player in Towns. He needs to take more shots. It's as simple as that. He needs to have more shot attempts. More of the offense needs to run through him. I don't really want to hammer away at this too much, just because if you watch the game, Chris Webber really hammered away at this. If you watched post-game stuff or saw it on Twitter, Charles Barkley also hammered away at how little the Timberwolves used him and how much more they should have and could have used him. But it does need to be said that in a game that you lose 104-101, to the Rockets, and it's that tight, Towns needs to have more of the possessions run through him on offense. And it's kind of inexcusable that they didn't get more offense going with Towns, and that really helped him lose this matchup with Capella, a center who probably should have been an all-star, and it really came to play tonight. It doesn't help that Towns only takes 9 shots.
Colton, some of the comments like D'Antoni made after the game, you look at numbers produced, and they were 10 of 37 from 3. But after the game, D'Antoni seemed almost pleased in the fact that he said, we got the looks that we want, we just couldn't make them. How troublesome is that, Timberwolves, considering you look at Houston having kind of an off night, but then you hear those comments, it sounds like that's exactly what they wanted to do, and my guess is they're not going to struggle that badly on Wednesday.
No, I don't think they will. They shot 10 for 37 from three-point range. That's 27%. You're not going to get another night like that from Houston. You have guys like P.J. Tucker going 1 for 5, Trevor Ariza going 0 for 4. You have Harden, who shot 7 for 12, was definitely by far the best three-point shooter on the team. Chris Paul went 1 for 6. Eric Gordon went 1 for 7. Gerald Green went 0 for 3. These numbers aren't going to happen again. And you can – it's just a team that wins 65 games, the Timberwolves aren't going to force every single game in a series to be sloppy and ugly like this. It really is unfortunate they couldn't win this one because of the next few games, if it's only three, if they play four more games, if they play five more games, you're going to get at least two or three Houston games where they hit everything and they jack up a ton of threes and they're knocking down 47 to 50% of them and they blow them out by like 25 points. You're going to get probably two of those games. So it's unfortunate that they lost the one that they were 3 points away from the Rockets and they were playing sloppy. And this is really, I know that the Timberwolves haven't made the postseason in 13 seasons and that you got to be excited about the Timberwolves being in the playoffs at all. But that said, it really is unfortunate, and this one, I think, will be a thorn in the side of the Timberwolves and Timberwolves fans looking back on it after the season's over, because this is one that really should have been a win and kind of slipped away from them.
Colton, I saw some theories on Twitter with the end of the game. Rob Perez saying that it seemed like Houston tried to set the Timberwolves up with the fouling at the end of the game. They made it look like they were going to. They never did. And it seemed like the Timberwolves were a little bit caught off guard by that, which led to that contested look at the end of the game that Jimmy Butler was not able to make. Do you buy that theory?
I do not buy that theory. Here's a theory that I'd like to throw out there. Maybe Tibbs just hasn't been great at drawing up final plays for the basketball games. Maybe isolation yep. Butler shots isn't the shot that you're looking for. Here's the thing. I know they don't have a timeout going into that last play, and so you can't inbound, you can't move the ball up, you can't talk about the play right before it happens, but you did call the timeout before you were able to force the turnover. So the play was clearly double team Chris Paul, don't foul him so he gets to the line, and try and force a turnover off the double team. You kind of want to assume that's going to work, and in the timeout, if you're assuming that's going to work and that's your play, then you've also got to have a second conversation where you are giving some time to the final play of the game. Clearly, that didn't happen because the play can't be just isolation Butler 24-foot fadeaway. You got to have some kind of action, some kind of pick, some kind of movement to the basket to try and pull some of the defense. I'm fine with Butler taking the last shot of the game. I'm just not fine with that shot being Butler's shot for the last one of the game. There's got to be a better look you can create, especially when you've got guys like Wiggins who shot fairly well and who moved to the basket really well to try and pull some of the defense. You've got guys like Jamal Crawford, who you know the Timberwolves like to get the ball to late in the game to throw up the last shot. If he's making some kind of movement or making some kind of screen for Butler, you know that the defense has to pull to him because the Timberwolves like to pass it to him. Something to get Butler a better look, because that cannot be the last shot of the game.
Colton, final point here of the first half of our show today. In terms of guarding James Harden, is there a good strategy for the Wolves to use? It seemed like they gave a few different players the opportunity last night, Derrick Rose, Andrew Wiggins. Is there something that you see as a good solution to the James Harden problem?
I actually really like what they did against James Harden early on last night. And obviously it hurts when Wiggins has the four fouls and needs to be pulled with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. And you saw Rose get absolutely cooked by James Harden. He's not a great defender, though. We've known that for years. And so I'm not going to really knock him for that. He joined the team to help their offense, not their defense. But I do like the idea of Wiggins, the second best defender on the team against James Harden, because you know James is going to get his. You know he's going to get his 20-some points. What you want is what they did last night, where we have Butler on the second best player in Chris Paul giving him fits, and he shot 5 for 14. And you want James Harden to go off, and you want to try and contain other players around James Harden. It's kind of like when they played the Toronto Raptors, back in early January, and Kyle Lowry had 40 and nobody else on the Raptors really did much, and they beat the Raptors by, I think it was 10 points. That's the theory for when you're playing the Rockets. You want to try and contain these other players because you know you're not going to hold James Harden down, so you just got to try and contain those other players. And I thought Wiggins was doing a tremendous job against Harden, and the problem was he just had too many fouls too early, and then Harden really got going against Rose and really got in a rhythm, and then that's where you see the shots late in the fourth quarter. Even when Wiggins is out there, it's too late. He's already in a rhythm. So I think the strategy was sound. I just think the execution was a little faulty with what happened there. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors before we get to the second half of our show with Seth. Seth, I actually had a question for you. I wanted to throw out a theory your way.
Sure.
Is Derrick Rose the best point guard in this series for the Timberwolves?
Wow.
I told you I was coming with the hot takes in our pre-show prep.
Yeah, you weren't kidding. I like that notion. We've seen Jeff Teague do some nice things, but he can play off ball. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is. I mean, he looked great last night. He was explosive offensively. Everybody on defense was a little bit of a liability, but I would not be upset if they try to give him a little bit more work at the point guard spot and maybe a little bit less Jamal Crawford, maybe a little bit more Jeff Teague at the two. I think that would be something worth trying. Obviously, down 1-0, you got to try to make some adjustments. So I think that would be intriguing to take a look at as the Wolves head into game 2 on Wednesday.
I've got just a stack of stats. And granted, I want people to remember, I am the guy who was opposed to Derrick Rose joining this team. I'm pulling a little bit of a 180 with this take, maybe. I am just, now that he's on the team, I just want the Timberwolves to do whatever they can to get wins here in the postseason. And from what I watched last night, this guy was the better point guard. And because I think on defense, you get about the same performance from Teague or Rose. I think that on offense is where you really got focused. 23 minutes, 16 points. But also, I think he helps Towns. Because, like I said, Towns needs to get more work. Listen to these stats. Listen to this. Derrick Rose and Towns played 21.3 minutes together. And in that time, had 43 points, shot 44.7% from the field, had 23 rebounds, and their turnover assist-to-turnover ratio was 11-5. Teague and Towns played 22 minutes together. They had 43 points, shot 37%, and their assist-to-turnover ratio was 10-7. Now, let's expand that to the two best players on the Timberwolves, Butler and Towns. If you're looking at Towns and Butler playing with Teague, they played 21.3 minutes. They shared the floor. There was 43 points in that time. They shot 37%, and you have the assist-turnover ratio 10-6 in favor of assists. If you look at those two playing with Rose, so you have Butler, Rose, and Towns on the floor, they only played 15.5 minutes together, that threesome, but they had 38 points out on the floor and shot 51.9% from the field. Assist-to-turnover is 8-3. I just think that Rose right now against the Rockets made Butler and Towns, he played better with them than Teague has been playing.
You sold me on those numbers, man. I think that would be an adjustment they could make for game 2. Also, one of the things that I would like to see them try to attack a little more, there's a lot of talk about these switches that Houston made defensively. And there were several times during the game where Karl-Anthony Towns mismatched. It just never seemed like they gave him an opportunity to do anything with it. And when you've got that sort of a mismatch, I know that's what Houston is trying to get you to do defensively, but you still have to take it. You still have to give Cat the opportunities. We saw too many times him just kind of disappearing into the corner, and that's going to be something that they really have to look at heading into game 2.
Well, I think that's something that Rose can help a little bit. I just feel like the way he's playing right now, which is something I did not expect from Rose, is that he is not demanding the ball. He is playing really well getting to the basket off ball. He's also played really well off of Towns when he does have the basketball. He has given him some nice looks to shoot. But you're right, when you're switching and you've got a guy like PJ Tucker, I know Tucker's a pretty good defender in his own right, but the size difference is so drastic, or you have James Harden on Towns. These are things you just got to take advantage of. You can't let that just sit out there and not be able to score buckets off of that. The Timberwolves did a good job, like I said, making it ugly, but also they do a good job of getting to the basket. You saw Wiggins and Rose and Butler, they all got to the basket fairly well, especially early on in that game. I think that's the play you got to do. And now if you add in more post work from Towns and you have him shooting a few more times, really trying to make this a slugfest down low in the paint, and then you can go back and Wiggins just doesn't get four fouls that early on in the game, and he's able to keep that defense where you have Wiggins on James Harden do everything he can, and then you have Butler trying to slow down the second best guy on the team, whoever's shooting the best that night. I think that can work. The problem is that I really feel like game two is going to be a crazy shooting night for the Rockets. You know, you can't have back-to-back bad nights for the Rockets. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I fully agree. I think Houston's going to come out with some intensity and some urgency, and they're going to try to get the offense going early. So it's going to be important for the Wolves in game two to make sure that they get both Karl-Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler going. Butler with 13 points, 10 of those in the second quarter. Any concern at all, or do we just chalk that up to Chris Paul doing a good job locking him down?
I'm not sure how much I want to attribute to the wrist exactly. I know for a starter in the Tibbs system, 36 minutes seems pretty light. But 13 points, he didn't shoot a ton. But I was fine with them kind of getting the ball to a bunch of different guys. You had Wiggins shooting 15 times. You had Butler with the 11. You had Jamal Crawford with 11, 14 for Rose. I think you'd want more for Towns, but again, you're slowing down the pace of the game, so obviously you're going to have fewer possessions. I think honestly, if he can play really great defense, the points will take care of themselves. There's a plenty of offense on this Timberwolves team. I think it comes down to who are the four guys. I don't think it's ever going to be like the Houston Rockets where it's James Harden kind of leading the way like you saw the other night with his 44-point performance. The Wolves have a bunch of offensive pieces that can all contribute, and right now it's just figuring out which four guys you really want to see do the most damage. I'd like to see Wiggins score a lot and take a bunch of shots. I thought he did a good job last night paired with his defense. I like Rose and what he's done. I think Butler or Towns needs to get more shots, and then Butler, if there are more shots to be had, he can take up those shots. But really, the defensive impact is where he's really going to be worth his money this series, because again, the Timberwolves have never been offensively handicapped throughout the season. They were, over the course of the season, they were the eighth best offense in offensive rating per 100 possessions. And so defensively, that's where Butler really needs to play a perfect game. And I think the points will figure itself out. I just think it comes down to a point guard play, and Rose right now is winning that battle. Other than that, the offense is going to score points.
Colton, I've got an intriguing theory that I want to have us finish with today. After the game, we heard Tom Thibodeau talk about how Karl-Anthony Towns needs to be more active, needs to be more engaged. Wouldn't it be simpler to just create some offense designed around Towns being able to succeed?
I think that might be simpler. I think that there's nuggets of truth to both sides of this. I think that there are definitely plays where instead of just floating to the corner like you mentioned earlier, Towns could be cutting a little more. Maybe he could be making more of a concerted effort more often to really make himself an option in the post. That said, there were plenty of times where he wasn't utilized already. And so, hey, maybe Tibbs is seeing an effort thing. There's definitely a couple points last night where it looked like he was fine just being in the post. or just being in the corner. But there are also times where when James Harden is on him and they don't pass it to him, and that's just a real missed opportunity. The thing that stuck out to me the most was Clint Capella looked like a man with his hair on fire. Looked like he looked desperate to be really, really good. He was really desperate to be the best big man out there. And it just didn't feel that way for Towns. And again, there was at least 10 times in that game where Towns should have gotten the ball and didn't. That said, there was not that level of intensity for the entire time he was on the court. Clint Capella, let me just look this up to make sure I have the minutes exactly right. Clint Capella played 34.27 minutes. Every single second of the time he was on the floor, it looked like he was just desperate to be the best guy he could be on the floor. And it looked like he was kind of taking on some of the James Harden play where he was going to control this game. He was phenomenal. For the 40.02 minutes that Towns was on the floor, he did not play that same way. He did not match the level of intensity that Capella had that game. And I think in game two, you need to see him match Capella's intensity.
Well, as we recap and wind down here today, some keys to a potential game two win is to get Cat more involved, try a little bit more of Derrick Rose with the starters, and I think you got to just try to design better opportunities. If you find yourself down at the end of the game and you need a big shot, come up with something a little more creative. That's at least what I take out of game one. What are your keys, Colton?
I would say make sure you're watching the fouls on Wiggins. I think it's really key for him to stay on James Harden as much time as humanly possible in game two. I would agree that you want Rose to be more involved. I think that he might end up stealing a bunch of minutes from Teague before the series is done. And I think you want to just try and keep the ball moving. You want to don't make the possessions easier. There are a handful of possessions from a bunch of guys, from Crawford. There are sometimes even from Butler, from Wiggins, where you drive down, you just run down to the other end and you take a quick shot. You can't do that. You got to pass it around the perimeter. There are open shots and there are good looks against this Rockets team. They're not infallible. There are things that you can do that work, and you saw it last night a bunch against for the Timberwolves. You just got to consistently do that, and sometimes you see the Timberwolves fall into a little bit of a slump or a streak where they just want to run down there and take a shot and then go back to the defense. You got to make every possession like the Spurs, where you're passing it around a bunch and then finding that guy and making the extra pass. And against a Rockets team that's really, really good and shoots really, really well, it's going to be very important to do that every single possession, because they're not going to shoot 27% from three every single game. That's not going to happen.
Very good. That is going to conclude this special collab edition of The Scoop and Locked On Wolves. Colton, as we finish up today, just remind the listeners on the Scoop end where they can find your show, Locked On Wolves.
Yeah, go on to iTunes, go on to the FanRag website, the LockedOnWolves.FanRag. Check out written content, check out prior podcasts, check out this show. We'll be doing plenty of playoff content for the Locked On Wolves site, so make sure you go check it all out. Got some great guests throughout the rest of the week. Make sure to go check out Locked On Wolves for all your Timberwolves content.
Excellent. And for your listeners, Colton, if they want to hear more from The Scoop, head to myklgr.com/The Scoop. You can find old archived episodes. You can also find interviews with various guests. Check that out. And we'll both hope for a win in Game 2 as the Wolves try to take it back to the Target Center. Tied at 1-1. Colton, thanks for hopping on The Scoop here today.
Thank you so much for having me, and go Timberwolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.